Jesus' name, Yeshua, literally means Jehovah saves. That's just not Jehovah provides fire insurance. That's Jehovah saves, heals, delivers, sets free. Whatever we're in need of, he does it. Amen? Amen. He's a good, good Savior. He's got a good, good plan for our lives. Well, you can be seated. Praise the Lord. Middle high, guys and gals, y'all are dismissed to where you're going. So be blessed over there. I heard it's the kickoff of something, so that's exciting. Awesome. Revivalists. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, Uncle Pastor, wherever you are. He's not in here. Oh, he's next door. He's man in the fort with in the other room. But it's great to be back. We always love coming up here. And so tonight, I mentioned to Pastor John, I wanted to, just as family, receive communion. Amen. You know, the church I grew up in, it was always the first Sunday of the month was when we received communion. And I didn't know what it was all about, but we did it anyways, you know, and the plates would come out and you kind of like, if you went to different churches, you judge it based on, well, they're using matzah, but this church is using what seems like stale Wonder Bread. And, you know, does one have more significance? You know, this church is better because they're using, but, you know, I believe that there is a revelation coming to the body of Christ in this hour about the significance of the communion table that I believe has been lost for a long, long time. But I believe that the reason that the truth and the value and the weight of communion, the revelation of that is being ignited in the hearts of believers is because we are the generation that will see the return of Jesus. Amen. I know there's been a lot of generations looking for his return, but prophetically, there's no other sign that we're waiting to see for Jesus to return. Amen. And the Bible says that it's that hope of his return that causes man to purify himself. Amen. Amen. It keeps us sharp, keeps us looking, keeps us active, keeps us with great expectation of his soon return. And I believe that there's a revelation in the communion table that will cause this generation to not go through the grave. Because the Bible says that the generation to see Israel become a nation again, that generation would not pass away until the coming of the Lord be fulfilled. Amen. So praise the Lord. I know you've had Reverend Joe Morris here, and he's the end time update man of God, prophet of God, and, you know, just check out his website. You want to get stirred up, you're having a down day, things trying to dog you, just go on there and get an end time update and let him just, you know, give you a fresh injection of just exactly when we are in time. Amen? What time it is. It's important that we know what time that we're living in and not be like the Goheim, not be like the church, the parts of the church that seemingly are falling asleep. But I believe that he's awakening us to righteousness. Amen. Awakening us up to how righteous he's made us to be. Apart from our works or anything that you and I could ever do or have ever done. Simply a gift that he purchased with his own blood. Amen. Because at the center of the gospel, listen, the gospel is either good news or it ain't the gospel. Amen. Right? So if there's a gospel and it's just kind of lukewarm or it's just kind of, I'll tell you what, it's not the gospel of Jesus. Because the more we see the truth, the more we behold the one that purchased us with his own life, the more we see him, man, you just want to keep beholding. Just want to keep beholding. And suddenly he opens up the word to you, his word, in a way that you've never seen before. And revelation begins to pop. And he begins to reveal himself through the Old Testament, through the law and the prophets, this hidden Savior woven by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit through the hand of men, through the Old Testament, and then revealed through the New Testament. You know, if we only had the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we'd see Jesus in his earthly ministry and all the things he came to do, but we would never truly see what happened. I've heard it said that the Gospels are the photograph. But the epistles, the letters, Paul's letters, the letters to the church from Romans, basically to the book of Revelation, is the x-ray. And that's where we see what happens in us, in Christ, and in Christ in us, that wasn't revealed through the Gospels. Amen? So I just want to share a few scriptures with you that just totally, just, I'll tell you what, you start reading about scripture, about communion, and you'll just want to keep seeing more and more. Amen? Amen? Because there's a whole lot more there than just a ritual to be observed. Amen? So let's just all just close your eyes. Father, we just come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence in here tonight. Have your way in this place. Father, none of me and all of you, that my tongue would be the pen of a ready writer, ready to release life and release light. Think through my mind, speak through my lips. We just yield ourselves to you. We come into agreement in this place tonight to celebrate the death of our Lord Jesus. We thank you for this time that we can come together just as the early church did and receive a fresh blessing from you tonight. And we give you all the glory and praise for it. We release our faith for breakthrough in lives, breakthrough physically, financially, emotionally, relationally, in Jesus' name. Whatever we're in need of tonight, I thank you, Father, that tonight things shift. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, something about our, and I've got a clock up, so I'm going to keep us. We're going to stay right on time to when you get out. I'm obedient. You know, there's something about a righteousness consciousness that causes a radical shift in our expectation level. You know, when the leper, and I love the story of the leper, it literally brings tears to my eyes almost every time I read it. But when the leper came to Jesus, he said, Master, if you're willing, I know that you can make me whole. And it wasn't, you know, Jesus with a word in other places casted out demons. And it would have been enough for Jesus to just release a word and set that man free. But this loving Savior went even further, and he reached out and put his hand on this leper that had been an outcast to society, not allowed to be around his family, put his hand on him and he said, of course I'm willing. Be cleansed. Be cleansed. And I believe that in the very act of putting his hand on the leper, he was restoring to that man that part of humanity that had been robbed by this evil disease. This evil disease that was not in the Father's heart. And so you saw the love of the Father in action through everything that Jesus did and everything that Jesus said. And, you know, I believe that where the Lord's bringing us to, I believe that we know he's able, and I believe we know he's willing. But I think that the storms of life, the seasons that seem to go on longer than we would expect them to, those things kind of get us in this place of hope deferred. This place of, I know he's willing, and then subconsciously we're like, I just need to do this, this, and this. I just need to believe a little bit more. I just need to. And so we keep ourselves just outside of that the very breakthrough that he is longing to show to us more than we could ever desire, which is wild. That he loves us so much that he wants to see the fulfillment, that miracle, that breakthrough, whatever it is, happening in our lives more than we want it. That's like a Selah moment right there. And so, praise the Lord. The power of the communion table, you know, there's the tithe, and we're not going to talk about offering too much tonight, but there's something about the tithe. Something about the tithe. Because the Bible says in Hebrews that there men receive tithes, but there he receives it in whom is testified that he's alive. And so our action of tithing under grace and not under law, is everyone okay? You're doing okay? All right. Our tithing under grace, the reason we do it is to testify that Jesus is alive. Not just in a theoretical sense, not just in an intellectual sense, but literally every time we tithe, we are testifying that Jesus is the God of our lives, and that if he's the God of our lives, then we're going to be okay, that he's watching over us. And so it's not out of a legal sense of you have to, you have to, you have to. Every time you see the word law in the Bible, I want you to change in your mind and look at the word law as demand. And every time you see the word grace, I want you to see the word supply. Because under law, God demands righteousness from righteously bankrupt men and women. Under grace, God supplies righteousness to righteously bankrupt men and women. That's really good for you and me. Amen. That's a reason that no matter what storm we're going through, that we've got something that we can declare, that we can shout, and we can be thankful for. And I'm telling you what, we are coming into a place of worship that we've never seen before. There is a sound that's rising from the hearts of not just somewhere out in, you know, Bethel in California or Jesus Culture in Sacramento or whatever. And I'm thankful for all these ministries that the Lord's raising up in this hour. But I'm telling you, there is an anthem rising from the body of Christ across this world. And the sound that's rising out of Laconia and the sound that's rising out of New England is unique and significant to this area of the country. And so there's a sound that comes out of you and me that no other part of the world can make, because it adds to the fabric of the body of Christ, adds to this amazing fabric called the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is an anthem that he is victorious and his victory is ours. We sing that he's overcome, but the Bible says, and he has overcome. And how do we overcome? Through Jesus. Who is he that overcomes? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I think we make it way too difficult. I'm preaching to myself tonight, so you're just getting in on a little, you know, inside conversation. But literally, the Bible says, who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's not real difficult. That's not real difficult. I like that. I don't like things that are difficult. Amen? He's that good. Sometimes we strain and struggle and make faith into this, you know, 10 steps to this and 6 steps to this. And it's kind of like, you know, getting your satellite dish. You know, do I have it pointed perfect so that I got the signal? You know, am I, you know, balancing on one foot? If I say it enough, if I confess it enough, you know, and then you got this little accuser on your shoulder going, nope, it's just because you don't have enough faith. No, settle down. Jesus said, if we have got faith as a grain of mustard seed, we'd say. And really, our faith, and we're getting a communion. Stop pulling me in another direction. You know what our faith is for? Faith unto righteousness. What did Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom, his righteousness. All these things. Well, what's left out of all? Our finances, our peace, our healing. Is that left out of all? Jesus said, your Father in heaven knows you have need of all these things. Sometimes we just got to go outside and consider the birds and the lilies. It's more difficult this time of year, but we got birds still. I'm sure if we, you know, anyways. He said, consider them. They don't stress. They don't strive. They don't sow. They don't reap. But yet your Father cares for them. And he's like, this is Jeremy, you know, paraphrase, but you're a heck of a lot more important than a whole flock of sparrows. A whole flock of them. Every one of them. All of creation, all of the created world is not to be measured in comparison to the life of one of his creations, of his sons and his daughters. Even those that are locked in false religions running a million miles an hour away from him, that life, blowing up people, is more valuable than all the created world we see. No wonder the devil hates us so much. Because every time he looks at you and me, he sees the image. He sees the image of the one he wanted his throne so bad. So he's just full of jealousy and freaked out by fear. There's no truth in him. So praise the Lord. We're taking communion tonight. We're coming up higher. Just say that. I'm coming up higher tonight. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm coming up higher. How about you? Jesus in John 6:50 and 58, Jesus said, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that man should eat of it and not die. And not die. He said, I am the bread that comes down from heaven, that man should eat of it and not die. And then later on in verse 58, he said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they're dead. They're really dead. Those that come to me, that eat of me, will have eternal life. Let's just go over there real quick. John 6:58. I just want to look at it. In Jesus' name, I already have it up. While you're going there, I'm going to read this to you, and this is in Acts. All right, this is the early church, y'all. This is our brothers and sisters. And they steadfastly persevered, devoting themselves constantly to the instruction and fellowship of the apostles, to the breaking of bread, including the Lord's Supper, and prayers. Yo, that's what the early church did. They kept listening to the apostles. They stayed in fellowship with one another. They were breaking bread, taking communion, and they continued in prayers. Why do we think we got to make it so difficult? In verse 46, it says, and day after day, they regularly, say regularly, assembled in the temple with united purpose. That means they just didn't do it empty-headed. They did it with spiritual intellect, spiritual intelligence. Tonight, we are going to partake of the Holy Communion with spiritual intelligence. Not out of a wishy-washy, not out of a routine, not out of a tradition of men, but literally a blessing to be received from our Father. When we partake of the Holy Communion, it is not a ritual to be observed. It is a blessing to be received. It's a time for us to commune with Him and freely, say freely, freely receive. That's even when you had a bad day. That's even when you got in a fight on the way here. That's even when, you know, you don't got it all together. In fact, the only thing that disqualifies you and I from receiving at the communion table is not acknowledging that we don't have it all together. Amen. Because Jesus didn't die for people that had it all together. He said, well, people don't need a physician. Well, people don't need a physician. But somehow, you know, we because of the culture, you know, our humanity wants us to have to earn it in order to receive it. And he's like, just come on, just come in, just come on. I'm giving out freely, freely. Whatever you're in need of, I'm giving it out freely tonight. I'm telling you, we are the generation that we're going to stop disqualifying ourselves from freely receiving that which Jesus paid for with his own life. Woo! It'll make a Catholic slap a nun. Don't do that. Blessed ladies. I don't know. I'm just trying to. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. I just need to borrow this real quick. Thanks. Technology doesn't want to cooperate, so thanks, Mom. Look on with Dad. All right, verse 58. Y'all are going to get me in trouble. We got 22 minutes. No, I'm just playing. It's good to laugh in church. It's like the anesthetic. Amen. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. All right. Check it out. Let's just kick over some religious devils right now. if Jesus was talking about just a spiritual living forever, in other words, that one day when we went through the grave that we would live with him forever, then why in the same context is he talking about men that literally physically died? He said, if we eat of this bread, we'll live forever. It's not just a duration into eternity, but it's even more so, or not even more so, but paralleled, it's also a quality of life that we partake of through him. Zoe, his life, his life. Every time we partake of the communion table, we are partaking of more and more of his Zoe life into every arena of our lives, physically, mentally, emotionally. It says in Psalms that as they came out of Egypt, they came out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble one among them. Amen. When they partook on the night of the Exodus, the Lord told them to partake, girded up, your loins girded. I don't know what loins not girded looks like, but anyways. Your loins girded, all right. Your loins girded, your coat on, your shoes on, your staff in hand. Why? Because they were in expectation of their deliverance. That every time we partake of the bread and drink of the cup, we are in expectation of our deliverance. Woo! Every time. Whatever we need deliverance from. Too many times, what tries and saps our hope is this: we allow our experiences or the experiences of others to choke the word and choke out hope. We're trying to work this faith thing, but our hope's been choked and shoved under the rug. But the Bible says that faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. Well, if we're just trying to rattle off, and I'm not saying, you know, y'all in here are taught well, and I'm so thankful you have a pastors that won't tolerate sickness. Like, they have a no sickness policy. They have a zero defeat policy that's ingrained in them that they just don't quit. They don't know the word quit, and we need that in this hour. It wants to try to, you know, and so tell me if this is something that, you know, anyone's grown up with. Manage your expectations. Manage it. What is that saying? That's saying, don't get too excited. That way, don't get your hopes up. That's the next thing I wrote. Don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. Why? Because that way, if it doesn't turn out, because we're not really expecting it to turn out well, we won't be as disappointed. So we'll be able to manage our emotions into this mental mess where we're just trying to, you know, with the help of Prozac and Xanax, get through life. Don't get your hopes up. All the while, Jesus is like jumping up and down, like, get your hopes up, get your hopes up, get your hopes up. Come on. Come on. What is it that you and I are in need of? What are we in need of? I just don't, you know, so we just got to dream with him again. Just invite him into, you know, we're preoccupied with something all the time. The way of the world, be preoccupied with worry and how it's not going to turn out right. And let the movies of it turning out wrong be like the box office hits that you and I watch while we're at work, while we're driving home from work, while we're at the grocery store, while we're spending time with family. So that we can never be present and enjoying the moment because we're so preoccupied with how it's not going to turn out well. Check it out. God created us. He created us to be preoccupied with something. He's just saying, be preoccupied with me. All right. So we just watched Joseph Prince Ministries does these animations of different things in the Bible. And they did this amazing one of the leper. And it was powerful. And I don't know if anybody else has seen it. It was powerful. And you saw this man And there was just this moment where you saw through his eyes and this little boy crying out, Abba, Abba. And he wanted to go touch his dad. And the mom like held him back. And you just got a moment. You just got a glimpse of the painfulness that this man endured, separated from his little boy, couldn't be with him, separated from him. And later on, you just saw this moment where he's hiding behind a rock and he's been hearing Jesus and Jesus is walking toward him. And you see this struggle because he wants to believe. He wants to believe that this man that's done these miracles is willing. And then you hear him ask, and his voice is shaking. Tears are running down his face. And he's covered up to cover the parts of the leprosy on his body. And you see Jesus reach forward and say, of course I'm willing. Of course I'm willing. Why do I say all that? That we need to literally take up the stories. All the gospels are good, but read through the miracles. Read through the miracles. The Syrophoenician woman, Master, will you deliver my daughter, my little girl? She's demon possessed. I'm only sent to the household of Israel. It's not right to throw the children's bread to the dogs. But with faith, she reached in with boldness and said, yes. But even the small pups, the house pups, eat the little crumbs. If there was enough power in a crumb to drive a demon out of a little girl who had no covenant with God, how much more you and I who partake of the living bread, not a shadow, but the living bread, how much more you and I that are blood-washed covenant sons and daughters, how much more do we have access with confidence into the supply of him to overwhelm whatever deficit it is that you and I have going on in life. Amen. Come on, you can't help but smile over that. It's powerful. Praise the Lord. It's good. You know, the first time that bread and wine is mentioned is in Genesis. And this priest, this wild priest named Melchizedek, book of Hebrews talks about him, without mother, without father, without lineage, not after the order of the Mosaic priesthood. No, this Melchizedek, this type of Jesus, this Jesus, comes and meets Abraham after all these kings just got the snot beat out of them. And what's he come with? Bread and wine. Isn't that amazing? I challenge you, look up bread and wine in the Bible, because you will see pictures of the communion table all through the Old and New Testament. Powerful. Jesus said, it's this supper, it's this Passover that I've longed. I've longed to celebrate, to partake with you. This is the one. After he had raised from the dead, he's on this Emmaus road. He's with two of his disciples. And they walked 7 miles one way. This is the risen Lord. And they can't see him for who he is. They can't see him. Can't see who this guy is. And the Bible says that all along he revealed himself through the law and the prophets. So all, you know, Genesis, Exodus, all the books of the Bible, he was revealing himself. And then they got to the house and they broke bread. They broke bread. And the Bible says their eyes were open and they saw him. And he vanished. Jesus said, blessed are those who haven't seen yet believed. I'm telling you, you want to see more of Jesus? Start partaking of communion on a day-to-day basis. Yeah, but Pastor John's not at my house in the morning. That's all right. I don't have any matzah. I don't care if you got a chocolate munchkin and Dr. Pepper. I wouldn't recommend. That's a lot of sugar. It's a whole lot of sugar. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Piece of Wonder Bread and chocolate milk. I keep leaning towards sugar. Doesn't matter. Listen, Jesus used what was at hand in the day. It wasn't the representative of it. It was the bread, his body, the wine, his blood. That's what it is. And Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. So if Jesus, being God, said, this is my body, who are we to say, this is just bread? This is just matzah. Who are we to say that, this or a munchkin? Who are we to say that if it's anything less? He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. You know, I've heard it said, you know, well, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're celebrating his resurrection. Well, that's true, but the Bible says that we're remembering his death. And there's a reason for that, because remembering his death is to remind you and I, in the midst of our symptoms, in the midst of our circumstances, that this body and this blood was the payment to bring deliverance in the midst of our darkness. To bring deliverance at the fourth watch of the night. Every time we partake, we need to take the position of resting, receiving, and getting ready. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the body, one more thing, and we'll just go over to 1 Corinthians. Thanks, Mom, for letting me use this. Appreciate it. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians, and we'll go to chapter 11. I had a bunch of notes I want to share, and we didn't get there, but that's okay. 11. And this is the Apostle Paul. And in verse chapter 11, verse 23, he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Interesting that Paul received this directly by revelation of Jesus when he was caught up into the third heaven. Although the apostles of the Lamb were all present and still living when Paul wrote this, they could have told him about the night of the Passover. But yet Jesus found it so important, the Godhead between, Jesus only said what he heard the Father say. He only did what he saw the Father do. It was recorded by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God breathed. That this is so important that he didn't leave it for one of the other disciples to reveal it to Paul. But it came by direct revelation from Jesus to Paul. Selah. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Do this to remember me by. That means that right now, right in this moment, as we're getting ready, we're just filling ourselves with expectation right now. As we're about to partake, that we're not going to be, we're going to become more Jesus conscious and less us conscious. More his fulfillment conscious and less our deficit conscious. Amen? After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new testament or covenant in my blood." I love it how I think it's amplified or NLT says it. The new covenant between God and his people. "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do," the old English word is show, but a better word is proclaim. "You do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Who are we proclaiming it to? We're proclaiming it to our situation, to our bodies, to whatever the situation is, to the spiritual entities that we can't see with these eyes. We're proclaiming the Lord's death. We're proclaiming that this moment, that was the moment, that was the eternal event that purchased my deliverance from this. That by your stripes, Jesus, that cancer died. By your stripes, our blood pressure was normalized. By your stripes, our sugar levels were normalized. By your stripes, Alzheimer's died. By your stripes, every lying symptom, because that's what they are. They're lying symptoms that want to convince us that they're more real than the truth of this word. But Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's the truth of the gospel that it was finished here that sets us free, that separates us from the condition, that separates us from whatever the circumstance may be. I saw my wife waving the clock, which means I'm really close. So I'm getting there. We're almost done. We're almost done. Verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. All right, show of hands. Anybody else in here ever grow up? I'm not saying here, but just in times past. If you eat of the bread unworthily, if you eat of the bread with sin in your life, you'll be guilty. Oh, let's get back to English. We need some anointed English teachers in the body of Christ. Because unworthily is an adverb. It's modifying the action. It's not modifying the person. What does that mean? Unworthily, not unworthy. Because guess what? Jesus died for unworthy people. All of us. Well, that just takes a load off. But unworthily means that we partake not discerning, that we partake as a ritual, that we partake, oh yeah, it's just, you know, it's just something. Not discerning the value, not discerning that it's literally Jesus' body, that this is his body, that this is his blood. His body wasn't just broken for no reason. Healing is not just a bonus blessing at Calvary. Healing is up front and center. Why? Because in order for us to manifest the kingdom, we can't be preoccupied and overly conscious with this temple. He wants our temples well. I'm telling you, this is a testimony to this generation on earth. How's that whole church healed? How's that whole church just walking around well? Because they were partaking house to house, breaking bread. Yeah, but my thing isn't physical, it's mental. Break bread. Break bread. If a crumb can drive out a demon, a crumb can drive out schizophrenia. A crumb can drive out bipolar. Come on. There's an expectation rising up in us. To see the impossibilities of man absolutely upended. I'm thankful for the operations of the gifts of the Spirit. I'm thankful for them. There's so many avenues. We can receive healing through faith. We can receive it by a word of knowledge and the gifts of healing and manifestation. I believe, this is just personal, that the pinnacle of ways to be healed is through the communion table. Just seems that the Father would put the sacrifice of his Son right up top. Right up top. Right up top. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eats it, so in other words, let's examine. All right, I'm conscious with spiritual intelligence. I'm not doing this empty-headed, empty-hearted. I'm acknowledging that the stripes, and literally in the Hebrew, it says that the stripes were so much, there wasn't a ribbon of skin left, that it was literally a singular stripe. That by that stripe, my condition died. That by that stripe, my body was healed. That's how we discern. That's how we discern his death, discern his body. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, this singular cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. All right, so this isn't judging ourselves. Do I have everything perfect? This is judging how I'm partaking. Am I partaking conscious of it? Amen. Amen. Every time you partake, you're getting stronger and stronger. Every time we partake of the Lord's body, we're just ingesting more and more of His Zoe life into our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's partake. How do we do communion here? Okay. We start that side. Praise the Lord. All right, we do it in order. Should we take these off? Praise the Lord. Get ready, get ready, get ready. I'm telling you what. If you walked in here tonight, come on up. Don't be shy. We're going to partake tonight together. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not good at giving instructions on this stuff. I did it one night, and it was just, there was like two trays. One didn't have enough, and so you had a big line over here. It was like, you know, worse than a Market Basket deli counter on a Saturday when the tickets run out. It was horrible. Maybe. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead indeed unto sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Isaiah 53:1 says, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been extended? Jesus is the arm of the Lord. That whole row, you guys are just like pulling like, whew. Come on. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been extended? And it goes right into the messianic prophecy about that he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. With spiritual intelligence. I'm telling you what, we're getting smarter and smarter in the spirit. We might not be able to do calculus, but boy, I'll tell you what. He's showing us. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been extended? Lord, I believe your report. I believe it. You did it. I had nothing to do with it. Because if we had, we would have screwed it up. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. I'm sure Pastor John's talked about the significance of matzah. It's striped, it's pierced, it's burnt. And the Jewish rabbis have no idea why. Isn't that cool? The Christian ones do. Striped, pierced, burnt. Come on. I'll tell you what. He is the fourth man in our fire. He is the fourth man. He is the fourth man. He is the fourth man. And in Jesus' name, we are going to the other side. We are going all the way through. We're not leaving one behind. We are moving all the way through to that which God has shown us in our hearts. We are moving all the way through. And every lie of the enemy, every lying symptom, every lying circumstance and situation, I don't care if you caused it and you know it. Yeah, but what if I really caused it? Then the blood answers that. Come on. Why are we always trying to disqualify ourselves? Let's lift up the body. Lord Jesus, your body that was broken for us, that by your stripe, by the beating you bore, our bodies were made totally whole and well. As we remember your death tonight, as we discern your body, we don't do it trying to obtain healing. We are proclaiming that we are the healed of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your body that was broken for us, And we freely receive right now in Jesus' name. Partake. Someone's been dealing, maybe more than one, with serious anxiety, night terrors, just real fear stuff. I just saw that thing leave, and just his peace just overwhelm. And you're going to notice a marked difference, and that thing isn't returning. Thank you, Lord, and the cup, the new covenant in your blood. Under the old covenant, don't do this, don't do that. All the requirements that was on man that we could never live up to. But under this new covenant, I will write my laws on their hearts and on their minds, and I will be unto them a God, and they shall be unto me a people. And I won't remember their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. Literally, we don't think of it this way, but for us to beat ourselves up after he's forgiven us is literally pride. Because what we're saying is that we have to further punish ourselves, because the punishment of our sins, past, present, and future, in the body of Jesus wasn't enough. So let's just get free of that tonight. Amen? Amen? Let's just get free of that. Beating ourselves up, you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda. Yep, well, praise the Lord. But his blood, but his precious blood, that his precious blood. And we confess tonight that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, apart from our works, simply through faith in the blood of Jesus. One more thing, and I meant to open with this, and then we'll partake. I saw on TV or in an ad or somewhere, and it was just a statistic. One out of every 9 of this gender will have this in their lifetime. Listen, y'all, we're bombarded with 1 out of 8s and 1 out of 3s and 1 out of 9s. And all of this preaching, trying to wrap fear around our hearts and our minds, trying to absolutely freak us out. Well, I'll tell you what, the Lord Jesus Christ has a statistic too. And it's called Romans 5:17. Through the transgression of one, death reigned. Much more. All right, listen, let's think about death for a second. Death reigned. Yup, death is pretty finite, right? Much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in this life by the one Christ Jesus. When we reign, sin doesn't. When we reign, cancer doesn't. When we reign, depression doesn't. And it's not based on anything else than us freely receiving the abundance of his grace and the gift of righteousness. Come on. Grace sets the table. Faith just sits down and eats. So tonight, we partake of the precious blood of our Savior, of our King. We freely receive it. We thank you for your blood that's washed us whiter than snow. And we declare that we have been made righteous. In Jesus' name, partake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, 7 minutes. That's like a B minus. Praise the Lord. It's so good to see everybody. All right, well, I'm already late, so this is on y'all's. No, I'm just teasing. All right, if you have your tithes and offerings tonight, we're just going to, you know, tithe and proclaim that he's alive. We just proclaimed his death, and now we're proclaiming that he's alive. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're making out a check, make it out to FACF. You can give by text at some number that I don't know. Cash is still king, and I don't think they take Bitcoin here yet. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for tonight. Oh, I should give you some more time. Should I tell a story? No, just teasing. Uh-oh. That might be John, Pastor John knocking on the door. Here, I'll share this little tidbit. And maybe if I get invited back, I'll talk about this. So in 1 Corinthians 10, right? So we were in 1 Corinthians 11, right? So one chapter before, Paul didn't write in chapter and verse. He's talking about, and we've all heard this, there's no temptation taken us but such as is common to men, but God is faithful, who will never suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able, but through the temptation will make a way of escape that we'll be able to bear it. Well, that word temptation is also the word trial. So it could be a temptation to sin, but it also could be a trial in life. And two verses later, he's talking about communion. The bread that we break, is it not the body of our Lord Jesus Christ? The cup of blessing which we partake of, is it not the blood of our Lord? I'm telling you, the way of escape out of every trial, you're going through something, I don't care if it's 2 on a Tuesday, 6:30 in the morning, Thursday morning, get out the bread and wine. Get out the Wonder Bread and root beer. Partake. Well, that seems extreme, yeah. And we'll be extremely blessed. I'm telling you, because he uses the things that seem simple and insignificant to confound the things, the mighty. The diagnoses, the evil report. He uses the simple things to upend that thing. Come on. Praise the Lord. All right. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow tonight. We thank you, Lord. Oh, if you need an offer. Oh, no, we're standing up. Okay. We lift this up before you, Father, and we pray a blessing upon it. I thank you for the blessing of multiplication into this church body, into this church family, into the lives of the people. I thank you for financial miracles. I thank you for testimonies of debts being paid off and favor and doors opened. I thank you at every stage of life. I thank you for big old 5- and 6-figure checks coming FedEx to people's houses. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We just give you glory and honor. We declare that you're alive. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. The ushers will wait on the people. Everything's shut, and we're done. Praise the Lord. You got a healing service coming up. Ooh, next Sunday. It's this Sunday. I get into trouble with that. We're always, is it this Sunday? Is it next Sunday? This next Sunday, we got a healing service. Just come to church and you won't miss out. Preach it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Did anyone come in here with pain and you've noticed a difference just during service? Come on, the Bible says that he confirmed the word with signs following. It's his word. It's his power. I love what Pastor Bill Johnson says. On our best day, we couldn't get anybody healed. That's just liberating, isn't it? That on our best day, we couldn't get anybody healed. It's always him. Come on. Listen, he's pouring out more favor in our lives. We get all the favor. He gets all the glory. It'll never be worthy as the Lamb and me. It'll always be worthy as the Lamb. And listen, there's glory released when we testify. It brings glory to the Father. It brings glory to the Father. Healing is not the mass millions lottery. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Let's see if someone gets healed tonight. Religion wants to make it like mass millions. 1 out of 640 million. Maybe tonight's your night. And so, whoa, think about that. You got to play to win. You got to come to church to win. No way. We come to be with the ecclesia, with the saints of God, because the supply that you carry, I need. Because there's a corporate anointing that's created. All right. Stop it. It's all your fault. All right. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for getting us all home safely. Father, I ask that you mess these middle school. I ask you mess them up really good in your presence. I ask that you give them dreams and visions. I thank you for this generation and that which you're doing. A radical generation of revivalists, Lord. I thank you for your anointing. We draw a line of the blood of Jesus around their lives. Satan, you have no access. We loose the angels to guard them. Father, I thank you for what you're doing, for causing a radical boldness, a David generation, a Joshua generation, in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory and praise and honor for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Have a good night.